Evansville, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity now to hear from you. Pray that the Holy Ghost will walk through the text and tailor the truth that we're teaching, meeting us where we are and lifting us to the place you would have us to be. We give you praise and glory for the principles that shall be revealed, and we pray for the power to practice them so that we prosper, and we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm led today to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and I want to focus on verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 2, recorded are these words. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord bless the reading and hearers, and more especially the doers of his holy word. For just a little while, we want to focus on the subject, determined to win. Determined to win. My brothers and sisters, as we look at this word today, the writer of the Hebrews puts this verse and these that are connected with this verse in a focal point of a contest. And there are some interesting things that we will pull out of the text for your understanding and illumination, because it's so important and pertinent to the fact that if we're going to win the race, if we're going to win what God has given to us as a journey or an assignment or a contest, there are just some things that we're going to have to focus on that Jesus Christ himself gives us by way of an example in the word. Matter of fact, if we really want to know how to win, no better person than Jesus should be the one we focus on. If we want to know how to handle trials and tribulations, nobody better than Jesus should we focus on. If we want to know how to deal with ups and downs, nobody better than Jesus should we focus on. If we really want to know how to handle our enemies, the naysayers and those who are against us, nobody better to focus on than Jesus. And I can continue on, but here's what I want us to look at when we begin to look at this verse again. It says, looking. I preached this before, but there are some things that bear repeating again. This word looking, of course, is in the continual mode of operation, which means you might say, well, I've seen Jesus. Well, the word says, keep looking. You might say, I know him. The word is implying keep knowing him better. In other words, looking suggests that you have not seen all there is to see. Looking suggests that while you may have seen some things, I can promise you, you've missed other things. Looking suggests that there's more than meets the eye. Looking, now here's where we begin to focus our looking, because there are a lot of folk who are looking, but it ain't always at Jesus. You can have folk in a worship service and Jesus is the last of their focus. They're looking everywhere, at everybody, at everything but Jesus. And so it says, looking. Make sure you do that at first. And then while you're looking, let's focus on where and on what and on who you ought to be looking at. It says, unto Jesus. So the first thing it wants us to do is to look at the personality of Jesus. And many times we get hung up and hooked up on personalities. And the problem with that is, it's all right to be hooked on personality as long as it's the personality of Jesus. Because a whole lot of us, many times in looking at personalities, have become encouraged. And many times, if we've looked at the wrong personalities, we've become discouraged. And the problem is that we will never see all God wants us to see if it's not the personality of Jesus. That's why Paul said, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. If you can't see Jesus, at least you can see the Jesus in me. And if you can see the Jesus in me, sooner or later you'll get close enough till you see Jesus for yourself. But you've got to be looking for him in order to find him. It's important to see that this looking has to do with seeking. And incorporated in the word seek is see. You will never see him till you seek him. And the purpose of the seeking is to see him. And to see him not afar off, but up close, up front, and personal. This word literally suggests that there should be a desire in your life to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ constantly, consistently. Looking unto Jesus. So many of us, my brothers and sisters, miss the mark, miss the prize, and miss the rewards because our focus is not on Jesus. Now look, because it's no need to look at him if he doesn't have anything to show you. So not only are we talking about personality, but the rest of the verse reveals that there is a pattern that we must follow. Looking unto Jesus, here he is, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the pattern by which we ought to ourselves bend and blend and be molded into. He is the pattern out of which we as fabric must be cut and shaped. He is the pattern out of which we must simply duplicate that he originated. And then as we operate, we will see the results that he himself got. One of the things that you note about a pattern is, and sisters, you help me if you will, if you've ever made anything by a pattern. Now, I know some of y'all good enough, y'all don't need no patterns. You just see it in your mind and you just, you know, just do it like that. You don't have to have a pattern. But the others, they need a pattern. And the pattern has a cutout on it. And you put the material either under or over, however you want to cut it or see it, however it's designed to do. And you simply cut the material out of the lines shaped on the pattern. And here's what you'll note, that you don't have a finished product, but you finally got all the excess stuff cut out the way. And you've got a shape of things to come. Lord, I wish I had somebody here. And that's all we've got to understand, brothers and sisters. When we're determined to win, we've got to look at a winner who's already won. And we ain't got to reinvent the wheel. We just need to lay the pattern down and then put the material on and then begin to cut following the lines. And when we're all through, we can take all that scrap material, get it out the way, because all it's going to do is just mess you up. Tell somebody, get the scrap material out the way. Because once you cut it off, it needs to be removed so you can see clearer where lines need to be joined together, so that in the end result, when it's all processed, what you have now ordered according to the pattern will look like the design on the package. Listen, so looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he sets the pattern for us. And my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I love about this word today that is before us that helps us to focus our determination to win is the fact that you have got to know at the beginning what you want to see at the end. The only reason why folk go and they pick patterns is because they like the picture on the package. You want to wear that you got the picture on the package for. And inside the package is the pattern. And so you in the end result want what you see on the outside to be the reality of what's on the inside. And so that means you've got to be determined to know that you are going to be a winner before you start the process. Looking unto Jesus, I see a winner, Jesus. I see a winner in the earth realm. I see a winner in the spiritual realm. I see a winner in totality, and his name is Jesus. And so as a result of that, I'm determined to be like Jesus, and I'm determined to win like Jesus won, and he has given me the pattern. Well, you remember when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and after he was fasting and hungered, when he was tempted after this 40-day fast, he then used the word as a pattern for defeat of the enemy, and he left the pattern so that I could follow. When he said, "It is written," he didn't have to say what was written. But the reason he said what was written is because he wanted to leave a pattern. Because he knew that I was going to be somebody after him who would fast and then be tempted. And then after being tempted, they would be able to use the pattern of the word to combat the enemy in the contest of this temptation. And so after fasting for 40 days and then being tempted, like he was, he utilized what we must utilize in order to win in our temptations. We must be able to say, "It is written," and quote the word of God. And Jesus gives us a helpful holy hint as to handle our situation. Well, you walk through the word, and every situation you're dealing with, my brothers and sisters, everything that you're going to have to confront, you're going to realize, amen, it is in the word. Amen. Jesus would be remiss if he had not given us a word to help us as a pattern for all of our issues and all of our situations. Well, I need you to understand something else. Because when you look at this pattern, what is also important is the fact that he doesn't stop there. Let's go on into the rest of the word. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Not only did he give us a pattern, but he showed us that you must be persistent in this pattern. See, a whole lot of times, how many of us would be honest and say, Pastor, there are some things I've started, but I have not finished. And I'm talking about good things, Pastor. I'm talking about good things. See, we many may begin the pattern cutting, but we might not end up with what is the end or finished product, because we've started but we've not been persistent in following through. And so many times, my brothers and sisters, when we look back over our lives, how many things have we started that were good? We became distracted. We became taken off of the focus. We lost our concentration. We didn't keep to what we were on our way to doing. And as a result of it, it never got finished. How many times when we look back over our lives, we could really see where we could have been had we finished what we start, how different things could be right now if we had just completed the good things that we started. So we've got to realize that Jesus's pattern was one that he started and finished. Listen, many great journeys have begun, but many of them have never run its course. Jesus came down, said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh and no man can work. What would you say, Jesus? What are you saying? I'm saying I got to start this stuff and finish it before night comes. And that means you got to be focused. That means you've got to be persistent. That means you've got to keep on keeping on until the job is complete. It means you've got to prioritize so that you don't become distracted and let other little stuff take away the focus from the big stuff. We've got to stop minoring in major things and majoring in minor things. We've got to maximize the moments. And so we've got to be persistent in our determination to win. That means if we set enough time aside to do this, then that means we need to operate in that time set aside that we have said we're going to do this. We corporately have decided to read the Bible together as a church in a year. But already at the 17th day of January, some of you are already 17 days behind. Now, if the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is basic information before leaving earth, you are really behind in your basic information. This is your life manual. You know how you don't know how to work some things? Because you ain't reading your manual. You know how you don't understand some spiritual things? Because you aren't reading your manual. You know why you don't know how to make some decisions? Because you're not reading your manual. Do you know how saints in the Old Testament, New Testament have lived and conquered and lived and been defeated? Because they have known the word and you don't know what they know. And if you read the word of God, you will be equipped to make the decisions, live the life, and win the victory that God has for you when you focus on what is most important. You're determined to win. You ought to need to know the rules of the game. Because it doesn't matter how much you train and how much you prepare, when you get in the race, if you don't know the rules, you can become disqualified. Lord, I wish I had a... I told you it was a contest here, and that means that contest has rules. And if it has rules, then it means you got to abide by them, or you can disqualify yourself. But listen at this. He was persistent, because the record again says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He could have come to that point where he said, you know what? I've done everything up to this point. I fed the hungry. I've healed the sick. I've raised the dead. I've cast out demons. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. But when it came to the point of him dying on the cross, which was the purpose for him coming to planet Earth in order to redeem mankind and bring him back into a right place with God, he could have said, you know what, this is where I quit. And all of the good that he had done would have meant nothing if he was not determined to win. It was the determination. He said, what shall I say? Since this hour has come, Lord forbid. No. He knew when the hour came that the determination that got him there was the same determination that was going to get him through. And so the Bible says he endured. Now that suggests that that was a challenge underneath the skin. And all true Bible readers know that he had a conflict underneath the skin, the flesh warring with the spirit. He prayed in the garden, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And listen to this. He didn't pray that one time. You know, this is for those who think, you know, you can just pray it one time and just leave it alone. And you can't say Jesus didn't have faith, because he had faith. But what you cannot dismiss is the flesh factor. Somebody gonna catch that sooner or later. You can be holier than thou. And the one who was the most holiest, who lacked no faith, had to pray three times the same thing to be able to get help to strengthen him to endure the cross. So don't tell me when I got to go back over and again in prayer, well, you don't have enough faith because you're praying the same prayer over and again. It's my business. I'm determined to win this race. And if I got to say it over and over and over till something happens, then I'm going to pray on. It's my prayer. And he endured the cross. The cross didn't overpower him. He overpowered the cross. And my brothers and sisters, you're going to need to know that not only must you be persistent, but even as you persistently pursue your determination to win, you have got to have the last ingredient that must be at the beginning, and it is passion. Passion. Listen at this. This passion can fuel your fire. I mean, you got to have a desire to win so strong that every now and then when you become disturbed, distressed, when it seems like you are going to be distracted because of all of the different things that pull at you and tug at you, and all of the folk that try to come and hinder your course, when you know all of these things are going to be a part of the situation, the course that you've got to run, you got to have passion enough to remember why you're running. Oh, when you just think about why you're running, it'll provide the passion you need to keep on running. Let's walk back through and catch some of this passion. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, here it is, who for the joy that was set before him. That's what caused his passion to focus on the prize. His passion was to win the prize. And I got to tell you, he stayed on the cross not for himself. Because if it were for himself, he never would have gotten on the cross. Because he knew no sin, did no sin, had no sin. So he didn't have to even deal with the cross. But his passion was fueled by the prize. He got up on the cross because he knew if he could get up on the cross and be there in the place of me, of you, of everyone who would accept him, that would be the prize for being on the cross that he himself did not deserve. And my brothers and sisters, everything he went through, listen at this, was fueled by his passion to win the prize. He came down to get us and bring us back, put us in right relationship with the Father. And every time he went through something, he just said, let me think about the prize. When he was there in the wilderness and had fasted for those 40 days, and when he was being tempted, and while he was getting himself together, he just already had his mind on the prize. When he became 30 years old and started focusing on his ministry, now he knew that the time had started and he was on a no return trip to get this thing done. Everything he had was focused and fueled by the prize that he was down here on planet Earth to win and bring back to his Father. And every move, every word, every deed, and everything done was passionately done and fueled by the prize. See, you got to want it so bad that you can taste it. You got to be able to see yourself in the number one position, lifting up the prize. When you're practicing and your muscles are hurting, when you're dieting and eating the kind of food you don't really want, you got to keep your eyes on the... Yeah. When you can't sleep at night, you got to think about the pride. When folk talk about you and lie, you got to keep your eye on the... When things try to turn you away and discourage you and get in your way, you got to think about the prize. And Jesus kept his eye on... Tell somebody he kept his eye on me. Come on, tell somebody he kept his eye on me. Well, I think that's a good place to end part one of Determined to Win. Give him glory. Tell somebody he kept his eye on me. I am what I am. By the grace of God, I can do what I can do. By the grace of God, I have the victory. Ah, glory. The doors of the church are open. You all remain here. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, it ought to be your determination in 2010 to win. You have a pattern in the personality of Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. You just need to be persistent. You need to be persistent. Glory to God. Glory to God. You need to make up your mind. I am going to win. I am going to be the victor. I am going to do what God's called me to do. Glory to God. It's your time. It's your time. You see, if you're going to be determined to win, you got to see yourself as a winner in your own mind. Jesus said, if I have overcome the world, you shall overcome. I've already won. You can win also.
greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And you've got to make the determination, I am a winner. I don't care what it looks like.